All right, it is 1 p.m. Hopefully everyone's doing good, doing well today. It's a beautiful day out today, and it was gorgeous yesterday. I'm going to start getting the show on the road. What do you think? Welcome everyone to St. Paul Intergroup's 2020 annual Longtimers Recognition. My name is Mark, and I am an alcoholic, and I am serving as St. Paul Intergroup's treasurer. So please help me open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, our board chair, Lindsay, will introduce today's speaker who will share her experience, strength, and hope as a longtime member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm super excited about having her today. She's a super awesome chick. And, I'm super excited. So, with that, I'll turn it over to Lindsay.
Thanks, Mark. It is my great honor to introduce CJ. I met CJ when I was a representative to my home group of St. Paul or at St. Paul Intergroup. I don't think I've ever told her this, but like I was just always super impressed with like how she would volunteer for all the different things at St. Paul Intergroup, and I was just really drawn to the level of service that she and her willingness to just do whatever she could do for St. Paul Intergroup. And yeah, I got to know her a little while and ended up asking her to be my sponsor, and it has been an honor to work this program with you, CJ, and I'm really excited to hear your story again. And so I'll turn it over to you. Welcome.
Thanks, Lindsay. A little overwhelmed, sorry. Thank you for the lovely introduction. Mark, thanks for your words about being a really cool chick. Makes me smile, so that's fun. So my name is CJ and I'm an alcoholic. Should probably start there. And it's an honor to be here. So this event, so I'll start by saying that my sobriety date is October 15th from 1994. So I am 25 years sober. In a couple days, in 5 days, I think it is, God willing, and the creek don't rise, I will be 26 years sober. And all of that time, when I first got sober, one of my main meetings was at 411 Main, which is where the intergroup office was at the time. So I got to know the intergroup pretty much right off the bat, right from the very start of my sobriety. And I loved to go up there and talk about what was going on in Alcoholics Anonymous and find out what books were out and what history I could read, because I've always been interested in the history. And then throughout the years, I have been to this event probably between 15 and 18 times, right? It's a treat to. When Jeremiah called and asked, I was like, oh boy, oh boy. I am an old timer. I am one of those now. Didn't think I would make that. So here I am. And the other thing that I've been thinking about that, all the people that have come before me, and that most of the people that spoke at those old time recognition meetings were people that I looked up to. And people that I watched be of service, that I watched follow the program of Alcoholics Anonymous in a way that I wanted to. someone just recently told me or reminded me that there are no heroes in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I understand where that idea comes from, but what I do know is that there's still a lot of people that I looked up to in our St. Paul area. And I'm grateful for those people because they showed me the way. When I got here, I'd been drinking for about 12 years, 13 years. I didn't have any idea that alcohol was my problem because all of you people were my problem. Thank you very much. So I got a DWI. That's what brought me in the doors. I came in and I went to treatment. I started going to meetings and I started going to the 411 Main Sunday night speaker meeting. And there was, 150 people in that room, and we were smoking too, by the way, which made me kind of happy because I like to smoke. I didn't get sober right away though. So I went to treatment in January of 94, and my sobriety date is October of 94. And during that time, I did stop drinking, but I kept smoking pot. And while I was doing that, I was going to meetings and I was collecting medallions and I was telling all you guys that I was sober. I didn't know how to be in this world without some sort of help to lighten the load that I felt like I was carrying, right? So I continued to find something to do that for me. And then what happened was I had been hanging out with you guys long enough that I started to realize that you guys were telling me the truth, that you really were sober, because I thought a lot of you were lying to me. Found out that you weren't. And I started to see the sparkle in your eye. I started to hear you talk about how good your life was. I started to see and feel that there was a different way to do this deal called Alcoholics Anonymous, called life. And I finally reached out for help, I guess, is like to finish that little story up. I reached out for help. And I got hooked up with a woman who took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is my little travel book. I am sitting in Arizona, by the way, which also kind of makes me happy to share that with you. So she took me through page by page and showed me what Alcoholics Anonymous was. Shared with me how she had recovered from alcoholism, how she on a daily basis worked these steps in her life to not let that hole inside of her get too big so that she would want to drink again. She taught me how to do things differently. What I appreciate most about that is that it gave me a language that I wasn't aware of to talk about my resentments and my fears and my conduct. I didn't have a language to know that that's the stuff that I was struggling with. I had a lot of resentments. I had a lot of fear. I would have told you that I was only afraid of being physically injured when I got here. Like that would have been my only fear that I could have recognized. And then by the time I got to that first four step and started to see how my life was riddled with fear, I had a list that was a mile long. Afraid of what you thought of me, afraid of what I thought of you, afraid of doing my laundry, not doing my laundry. Some really simple life skills Going to work, not going to work, being on time for work, showing up, you know, not hungover at work. I started to see how those fears really ruled my life, and how those resentments were causing me trouble. You know, I was interacting with people in a way that didn't feel good at the end of the day, because I was carrying around those resentments and those fears, and some of that conduct that I was, that I felt bad about. You know, I felt I had some guilt about my conduct, and I had a lot of blame in my vocabulary about why this, it wasn't my fault that these things were happening and going on in my life. So we're working through the steps. I'm going to meetings. I'm learning this new vocabulary. I'm starting to meet people that are like real. I guess that's probably the best choice of words that I got. Because the people that I had encountered previous to this would never have had a conversation about God, would never have had a conversation about fear, for sure. Because in the, you know, people I was running with, you did not allow yourself to get vulnerable. There was no vulnerability allowed. So you guys taught me a little bit about that too. So I'm doing the steps. My life is a little better. I'm pretty angry that I have to do the work. I still like held on to this idea that, you know, if everybody else would have just acted right, I would be okay. Why do I have to do the work? I don't want to do this work. This stuff is hard work. You know, it's tough to walk through the steps and to look at yourself for the first time. And my first sponsor, and it was just what she knew to do. So that's what she shared with me. And I ended up doing a lot of fourth and fifth steps. That's where we would end up. I would come to her with a problem and she'd say, write it out again. Which by the time I got to about 3 years sober, I had done a lot of fourth and fifth step work, but I hadn't done a lot of six and seven work. And what happened to me because of that, was that the obsession to drink came back. At 3 years sober, I wanted to drink again. And I couldn't tell you that I wanted to drink. Part of the reason that I couldn't tell you was because my ego was saying, see, this isn't going to work for you. See, you're too damaged. You're too far gone for this to work for you. And I also believed that I had done everything that you guys had asked me to do, to get and stay sober. And it was in my mind, I was proving that that wasn't going to work because I wanted to drink. So, and it's important that I say again that I didn't tell anybody. So for a couple months, I hung on to that. We lived in the same neighborhood that we had for a couple of years at this point. And all of a sudden I was like asking my husband, is that a new bar? Cause the neon lights were really bright. Is that liquor store always been there? And he caught on to, that I was asking these questions. He's like, what's going on? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. It just seems like all these places seem really new to me all of a sudden. And it's because I was thinking about them. Which goes along with a piece of my belief system is that, that, you know, where we put our energy, our thought energy is what gets, what gets amplified in our lives. So if I put my energy on thinking about drinking, guess what? I'm going to see all sorts of opportunities to drink. If I put my energy in thinking about a new red car, guess what? I'm going to see red cars all over the place. If I put my energy in gratitude, all of a sudden gratitude is going to grow. So that's just a big lesson that I've learned along the way that I wanted to share today too, because it's important to me. I know that part of what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is a way to change my attitude and my thinking. And what that gives me is a way to walk through my day without being fully negative and without, you know, feeling crappy. Don't get me wrong, I still have my days, but they are much fewer and far between today than they ever were before. So at this point, I went and shared my story, and I shared a really good story about how awesome Alcoholics Anonymous was. And I took a friend with me that night, and we left the meeting that night, and I was like, I'm lying again. I just lied about how wonderful Alcoholics Anonymous is, because I don't like it right now. I do not like Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not working for me right now. And I want to drink. So I finally told my friend. She said, you know, she was thankful that I shared it with her, you know, because it's probably another big lesson that I've learned is when we share our secrets, when we share what's going on in our heads, it allows us to get some perspective and it takes the power away. And it took the power away from that idea. It lightened that load for me that night. The next morning I got up and I called my sponsor after, please hear me say, after laying on the couch for a couple hours, thinking about why, what am I gonna say? What is she gonna say? It's not working anyways, doesn't really matter. I finally picked up the phone and called her. And her first question to me was, have you been praying? And my answer was yes. I had been saying the prayers that I learned out of the big book. And then she asked me, have I asked God to remove the obsession from me? And I said, no, I hadn't asked that question. I hadn't asked for help in that way. She's like, why don't you try that and call me later? And she hung up, which I have to say I was not very pleased with, because I have an issue. I want to drink. And I think we need to figure out what the issue is about why I want to drink. And it's some sort of large psychological problem, right? I need to get to the bottom of it. Well, that's not necessarily true. What my problem is that I'm an alcoholic. And when things get tough, I want a solution. And my solution had been for many years to drink. I needed to enlarge my spiritual life so I could have a different solution. And that's ultimately what that gave me that day. Because after whining a little more, I rolled off the couch and got on my knees and asked God to remove that obsession. And it was lifted from me immediately. It was one of the many spiritual experiences that I've had over the years. So that was kind of my beginnings. Through those next number of years, I changed sponsors a couple times throughout the time that I've been sober. That first sponsor that kept asking me to go back to the fourth and fifth step, something just didn't feel right. I couldn't put my finger on it, and then I went to the Sunday night speaker meeting and heard this woman share my story from the podium. So I did ask her to be my sponsor. And once I was with that new sponsor for a little bit, I found out that my previous sponsor had been drinking and using. What that taught me was that first, it's not personal. Second, I need to pay attention to my gut. Something wasn't right. And I believe this woman saved my life because she took me through the book, right? She gave me the solution. But I still need to be able to get what it is that I'm looking for. And I needed some more spiritual growth at that point. And believe me, I got an education at that point. This next sponsor took me through the traditions. I appreciate the traditions from a number of different angles, mainly because it's kept us alive so that I could be here today. that the traditions have kept Alcoholics Anonymous together, and in good standing, so that we could be here today. It's pretty awesome. So she taught me a lot about the traditions. And then I was to meet my next sponsor. And really, it just, that one just kind of happened. This woman came into my life, and she was bright and full of sunshine. And she was had the things that I was kind of looking for. She was being of service. She was like, you know, steadfast in her recovery. And what I saw was like the three-legged stool, right? Unity, service, and recovery. I saw that in her, and that's what I was looking for. So I spent the next 16 years with that woman, and she really brought me through a big chunk of time, right? During that time, I worked at Intergroup, so I have that experience. I got the experience of being the office manager, and I grew to love Alcoholics Anonymous in a different way. I got to know what we're about. I got to know about our history even more. I got to see how we can be of service on a regular basis, no matter how sober we are, whether it's an hour or, you know, 50 years. And I saw everything in between there. People would come into the office and share their stories. And you guys are a tough bunch to work with. 'Cause I also had lots of, you know, never a dull moment days. 'cause you guys are an interesting bunch. And, you know, God forbid you get a resentment about a group, because you certainly want to come into the Intergroup office and tell us all about it. So that happened a lot. And I had a lot of support, and I got to learn through working at Intergroup and through the different boards that I have been on. So I got the opportunity to be on the Gopher State Roundup board. I got the opportunity to be on the Founders Day board. I was on a big book study committee. So I've had all sorts of different opportunities to work with a group of people, I guess is my point in that. And that taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about how to show up, how to be one among many. It taught me how to be, how to disagree and walk away from that disagreement and still be friends with you. I didn't know how to do that before. You know, those weren't lessons that I learned when I was growing up. If we disagreed, we were not gonna be friends anymore, right? if you didn't see it my way, we weren't gonna be friends anymore. So I learned so much from the good experiences and then the not so good experiences. And I've had, you know, a pretty good balance of both, right? Struggle with personalities, whether it's my own or others. struggle with people's opinions of me. Struggle with my own opinions of others. And how that played out. So I got to work for St. Paul Intergroup for almost 3 years. And then I went on to participate in a career that I loved. And throughout those years, what happened, I guess, is, you know, one of our tradition talks about property and prestige, essentially, that we can't let that get in the way of our primary purpose, right? I let it get in the way. Now I didn't drink over it, but I got into a position where I was making more money than I ever had before. I was doing really well at my job. I was getting a lot of pats on the backs and a lot of my like good stuff from my job. And I stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous, kind of, I guess is what I want to say. I would come in right at the top of the hour. I would leave directly after the meeting. I was sponsoring a couple women, but not as many as I had before. I started having troubles at home in my marriage. Nothing seemed to be going well. And I got myself into some trouble. I got fired. I got demoted. I'm sorry. Got fired a little later in my sobriety. But I got demoted, and that kind of woke me up. Like, hey, this isn't what needs to be important. What needs to be important is how I'm participating in life as a whole. Like, is it well balanced? Is it rounded? And the times in my life that it has been the best has been when I'm involved in being of service. When I've stepped away from that in any way, shape, or form, things get messy. And I don't even know that I can fully like make sense of that today, but I just know that that's what works, right? And that's what the 12 step of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about, right? We share our experience strength with others. We figure out how to be of service. And that hasn't always been, it hasn't for me had to be of service in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now that is a big piece of what I do. And I've had many people over the years, you know, CJ, why do you do all this stuff? And how come you're always so busy? And one of my favorite responses to that is that because I'm so sick, right? I have an alcoholic mind that gets me in trouble if I am not working or thinking about others. Because if I'm not doing those things, I am working and thinking about myself, and I'm making up stories and having arguments that I'm never going to have. And, you know, the crazy making that goes on in my head. I don't want to live that way today. I want to live comfortable in my own skin. I want to live in a way that I believe the God of my understanding wants me to live today. And I'm just going to back up a little bit just with the idea of God. When I got here, I didn't like God very much. I didn't think God liked me very much. I had certainly, you know, cussed him out on a number of occasions, and I felt like he was cussing me out on a number of other occasions. I didn't trust God. And when I got here, one of the things that I had to do is learn how to, what do I want to say? The big book talks about that we get to create our own conception of God, right? And I'm so grateful for that, because without that idea, I would not have been able to find a God of my understanding that I could trust, that I could even think about trusting. Because if I had to use the one that I had, that God wasn't big enough for me. That God wasn't roomy and inclusive enough for me. And the steps, and you guys taught me and showed me how to create this God in my life that I could understand, that I could have a relationship with. And without that, I would have none of anything in my life today. I wouldn't have the relationships that I have today. I wouldn't have ever been asked to speak at a long timers meeting for sure if Alcoholics Anonymous hadn't taught me how to find a God of my understanding. So I'm very grateful for that. My life has had its ups and downs for sure. I had that big job. It was cool. I learned how to ride motorcycles, and for about 10 years, I took a couple trips around some of the different states close by, and I loved riding motorcycles. I love being active in my garden. And again, here's the roundedness, right? And that those were the ways that I found God. And it was a lot of it was through physical activity, through gardening, through walking, through exercising, through motorcycling. And then what happened was all that was taken away from me. They found a birth defect and I had to have surgery on my skull. And that was in 2012, which is crazy to think how long ago that is now. And really wonderful to think about how far I've come. So if I don't get back to that, please know that I am in a much better shape today than I was those first couple of years. But those first couple of years, I had to sell my motorcycle. I couldn't even lift my arms over my head, let alone do any physical exercise. Walking hurt my head. So I started to feel like I was losing touch with God again. And I kept going through the motions. I kept doing what I knew to do, which I think is part of the reason that I continue to go to AA is because I don't remember on my own how to do this stuff. I need to be reminded. As much as I can complain about my meetings and I can, you know, I still need to see the newcomers come in. I still need to hear the old timers talk about how they found God again. Because these are the stories that have helped me to get here and stay here, right? So I had to find a way to understand God differently and be able to connect with God differently. And it took me a while to get to that place. It took me a while to feel like I was connected again, like I had been. And again, what that's given me is more spiritual growth, which is also what our book talks about, right? If we fail to enlarge on our spiritual life, there's a possibility that we will drink again. And the other thing that we could do is just be miserable. And I don't want either one of those two things. I do not want to be miserable, and I certainly don't want to pick up a drink. And I can say that today with, you know, every part of me. But if I rely today, or I'm sorry, if I rely tomorrow on what I did today, it's going to wear off. So there's the other reason that I keep doing what I do. Because I've had experiences with when we bought the house that I live in now. So I've been there for 20 years, with beautiful hardwood floors. And I stopped getting on my knees at night saying my prayers. And that's just something that I did. I learned how to do. That was how I connected. And I stopped doing that. And about 6 months into this time frame, I'm like, wow, what is going on? Why do I feel so off? I'm just off. Sitting in my driveway with my girlfriend and, you know, talking about life and trying to figure this out. And I was like, you know what? I haven't been getting on my knees. Well, the very next day, there was a rug at my front door so that I could get on my knees again and get back to my prayers. That's the kind of stuff that you guys have done for me that I couldn't do by myself. I couldn't have figured that out on my own. My brain tells me that I could, right? My ego tells me that you can do this by yourself. Don't tell anybody your secrets. You'll be fine. But I have found over and over again, when I share those secrets, when I try to figure out what it is that's bothering me, it's usually something about me, sadly. I don't like that part still. I don't like to have to do the work still, but I know what I get at the end of the day from it. And it is a deeper connection with the God of my understanding. And it is a love for Alcoholics Anonymous that I have nowhere else. So to kind of bring us up to speed with what's going on today, over the years, I have made friends with a number of the office managers at St. Paul Intergroup, because I know what that job is like. I've been friends with them before, and I think I've been better friends with them after. there's not a lot of people out there that have been the office manager for St. Paul or for any intergroup, right? So it's nice to have someone in your corner. So, and I'm grateful for the relationship that I have today with our current office manager. He holds a very special place in my heart. So thank you, Mr. Denny. I find ways to be of service. So that I can, at the end of the day, put my head on my pillow and feel good about my day. So I'm still involved at Intergroup. You guys have given me the title of unpaid consultant, which makes me giggle when I say it, because I think someone else said, I think we all are, right? We're all unpaid consultants. Still kind of nice to have a title. Makes me feel important. I am involved at the area level for the, I'm the current archivist for Southern Minnesota area, which I have really enjoyed because I love our history and I love archives and I love old books and old papers. And so that has been a job that's been right up my alley, which I've really enjoyed. My husband and I have been married for 26 years. I've had a good relationship with him. We have certainly had our ups and downs, but mostly good stuff. And mostly when I take my inventory instead of his, things go pretty well. I have some family members that I have good relationships with, and I have some family members that I don't have good relationships with. And those, you know, are what they are today. Some of them make me sad. Some of them, you know, I'm really okay with. But knowing that my side of the street is clean in all of that, has been pretty important to learn for me. I'm currently sitting in Arizona, which is a place that, eventually I'm going to move to. I love it here. It's my favorite, one of my favorite places in the whole wide world. So it's kind of fun that I get to maybe live here someday. I'm kind of struggling with how to end this. So I guess what I will say is I'm grateful that all 13 of you were here today to listen. I'm sad that we didn't get to have ice cream together because that's fun. And I hope to have ice cream with you someday. So I think I'm going to end with that. Thanks, you guys, for being here.